Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. So I know everybody's coming in to church today thinking it's the fourth Sunday of Lent. Everybody's excited about the gospel of the Samaritan woman. But because it's the 29th of the Coptic month, there are three major feasts that the church basically supersedes whatever the gospel reading of that day is. So we celebrate the Feast of the Annunciation, the Nativity, and the Resurrection of our Lord today. And that's why you'll notice that the hymnology is even a little bit more festive. What I'm going to try to do today is I'm hoping that as we read the reading today, we can still tie back the Samaritan woman into it, because I think everybody really loves this week in Holy Week, because, you know, everybody connects with the Samaritan woman, they connect with the story. But I think this gospel reading today is a very beautiful reading, because it reminds us in the middle of this Lenten season, it's kind of beautiful how the Lord orchestrated this, that in the middle of the Lenten season, we are reminded of the work of salvation that God has done. We're reminded of the fact that God saw us. When you looked at all the readings of the day today, all of them were focused on the visitation of God to His people, that the people were in bondage, people were struggling. We look at the Acts reading, it says that the Lord saw the burdens and the struggles of the Israelites when they were in Egypt, and He wanted to visit them. He told Moses to go and visit them and to free them and to release them from the captivity and the bondage that we were in. And I think when we go through this whole season, it's very easy for us to just celebrate a liturgical year, to celebrate another Lenten season, and to just kind of miss the whole point. But I think for all of us, what we need to be really considering is understanding what would happen if this didn't happen. Like, if this gospel reading or if this story of salvation didn't happen, what would our fate be? Like, if Christ didn't see the bondage and the captivity that all of us were under, and He didn't visit us, what was the end result? All of us would be in Hades. All of us would be like, the world would have no meaning, no purpose. Like, when you go through life, and for us as Christians, the fact that we know that there is a life to come, it gives our whole life much more flavor. When you look at this icon here, you know, I always refer to this icon right in the center. This icon, you see, what is Christ doing? This is after the resurrection of Christ that He goes and He takes, you know, the icon is Adam and Eve. They're being rescued from the tombs that they're in, and surrounding them are the prophets, the patriarchs, the variety of different people that lived before the coming of Christ. Before the coming of Christ, no matter how righteous you were, no matter how holy you were, no matter how many sacrifices you offered, no matter how many fasts and prostrations and keeping of the kosher laws and the 614 Jewish laws, no matter what you did, your end result was this. You were in a tomb, buried, darkness, no hope, no future of eternity, just a very dark, gloomy existence. And thanks be to God that, as St. Athanasius says in the book on the Incarnation, he says, he as a king could not see his people in the condition that they were in and do nothing about it. He couldn't see us in our burdens, in our hopelessness, in our sorry state, where death was the byproduct for every single one of us. Non-existence was the end product of all of us. So He couldn't stand to see us in that state. So as a lover of mankind, that's why we call Him the lover of mankind. The lover of mankind chose to humble Himself and to come in the form of us, in our slavery. Like, this for God, like human flesh, is a huge, 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 huge demotion. Like, the God of the universe who whispers and the mountains tremble, the God of the universe who forms the stars in the sky took the form of a man. So that's why today this is a great feast of the Lord, because the Lord doesn't just choose this, like, He doesn't choose a royal family. He chooses this little humble, sweet, innocent girl in Bethlehem to be, or in Nazareth, to be the woman that He is going to take His human essence from, His fabric from. And that's why we say, that's why we glorify Saint Mary so much, because Saint Mary gave Christ His humanity. And without Saint Mary giving Christ His humanity, we don't get to share the same human essence with God. I know I'm getting a little bit theological here, but that's why for us as Orthodox Christians, we elevate St. Mary so much, because without her, we call her the pride of the human race. Without her, we don't have the shared human essence with God. We don't have the shared human essence with His Son. And the struggle for us is that I think sometimes we go through these feasts and we just celebrate them as though they're just another day. But, you know, Saint Gregory, one of the early church fathers, will say that in order to celebrate a feast authentically, one must incorporate its saving elements in their life. You must incorporate the saving elements of your life, of this feast in your life. So what's the message for us today? The message for us today is that if you are feeling hopeless, He's the hope for the hopeless. If you are feeling downcast and you feel like there's a dark cloud over your head and you feel like there is, you know, what is the purpose of my existence? Why am I here? The purpose of your existence is that you are the beloved child of God. And the reason why you are here is because God has a specific purpose that He wants to use you for. And that this is a day in which the Lord has made. And that this is a day where we can rejoice, because even if our life on this earth is miserable, there is still a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful story that's being written through us and in the life to come. And this is not, that's why for us, we don't see this like short period of time that we're on this earth as everything. We see it as just a small blip, like a small dot on the plot of eternity. So as you see this beautiful story of the angel Gabriel appearing to St. Mary, there's so much here, in terms of like what we can meditate on. But even the fact that St. Mary was troubled at the greeting that the angel Gabriel said to her, he said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." In St. Mary, all of us have found favor with God. In St. Mary, all of us, we rejoice, because through her, we get the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through her being the pure, like, pride of the human race, God chose to use her to be the dwelling place, the Theotokos, the bearer of God. He chose her to be the woman in which He was going to come in the fullness of time. But I want to tie it back to the Samaritan woman. So as I was thinking about this today, St. Mary gets the good news of the story of the incarnation. And then you see the Samaritan woman. You know, we have an icon right there of her in our church. You see the story of the Samaritan woman. Samaritan woman is us. All of us are trying to find our hope and our meaning and our purpose in things. And the beautiful thing is, in the same way that the Lord visited St. Mary through the angel Gabriel and He chose to dwell in her, is the same thing that the Lord Jesus Christ did to the Samaritan woman. It says in the gospel reading that He went basically out of His way to go visit this woman. And He goes out of His way to visit this woman because He sees what she can be. He sees the condition that she's in, and He sees the brokenness that she's living in, and He knows that He needs to free her. That's you and I. He knows the condition that all of us are living in, and He knows that He needs to free us. He knows that He wants to give us the hope of something far greater. He knows that He wants to give us the capacity to be who He created us to be, which is His very best creation. So when you go back to this story, you see the Samaritan woman. He gives her the living water. He gives her something that will quench her thirst, that she no longer needs to have to run after the different partners and the different spouses that she was trying to run after. He says to her that from this day forward, your life is going to be very different. And that's exactly what happens. She's the first evangelist. She goes out into the city of Samaria and she preaches and tells every single person that she encounters, "Come, let me tell you about the person who told me everything about him. Come, let me tell you about the Messiah. Come, come, come." And that should be the same response that you and I have. In this good news that we receive today, that the Lord Jesus Christ has visited us, that He's announced His coming into the world, He comes and visits us today in this church. He comes and visits us in this church and says to us, "Give me all that you have. Give me all of your shortcomings. Give me all of your brokenness. Give me all of your hurts. Give me all of your pains. Give me all of your fears. Give me all of your failures. Give me every single thing that you have, that you've been holding on to, that you're so worried about. And let me exchange something really back to you. Let me give my life back to you. Let me give you my hope. Let me give you my encouragement. Let me give you my love. Let me give you my eyes, my mind, my hands, my feet. Let me exchange your brokenness for my life." And Saint Fotini, the Samaritan woman, she goes on to be the evangelist of the gospel. She goes on to give her life fully to the Lord Jesus Christ, and she finds her true meaning. She finds her true purpose. She finds the true thing that actually will quench her thirst, will actually give her purpose for existence. And I think for all of us, we're grasping for different things to try to give us meaning, to give us hope, to give us a purpose for why we live. But the reality is the only reason why we live, breathe, and have our being is in Him. I don't care what we try to satisfy ourselves with. You think it's your career? Nope. You think it's your how much possessions you have? Nope. You think it's what people say about you? Nope. None of those things are consistent. The only thing that is consistent is what the Lord says about you, that you are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And Saint Fotini, the Samaritan woman, when she encountered Christ, she went about living her life drastically different. My question for every single one of us today is, have we truly encountered Christ? We've been in the church for many, many years. We've come and attended liturgy many times. We've heard every Bible study. We've heard every sermon. We've heard every single thing that somebody could possibly, like this church in particular, has had a history of some of the greatest preachers. Right? Yes or no? This church, when I was a little boy, I would listen to, I'd come home after church on Sunday and I'd listen to the sermons that were coming out, the first thing from this church. This church, we've heard it all. The question is, have we encountered? The question is, have we offered our life fully to the Lord? The question is, have we responded to the great love that God has offered to us? The question is, have we said to ourselves, Lord, I'm tired of living the way that I've been living. I really do want a metanoia. I really do want repentance. I really do want to change my direction. I really do want to walk in a different path of life. Or do I just want to continue living the exact same way that I've been living? The question for every single one of us today is how? The how. How do I? Okay, Abun, I hear you. I want to. I think the first thing is an acknowledgement of a need. Right? Like the first thing, like, you know, they say that you need to, in order to make a change in your life, is an acknowledgement. Lord, I'm not right. There's something that's off. I need things to be different. So an acknowledgement. The second thing is to recognize that He's a physician. And a physician, you have to come before Him with your symptoms in order for the physician to provide you the medicine necessary. And what is the medicine? The medicine is the life of the church. The medicine is the liturgical life. The medicine is your prayer life. The medicine is the Eucharistic exchange that we have here. The medicine is the fasting. The medicine is all the different things that we do to try to align our heart with God. All these things are not just actions that we do. We do them for the purpose of loving union with God. So fasting and prayer and prostrations, the goal is not to have loving union with God, oneness with God. Then we're missing the mark. We're missing the mark. So we could have fasted and missed loving union with God. We could have prostrated and missed loving union with God. We could have come to a lot of liturgies and listened to a lot of Bible studies and missed loving union with God. The goal is loving union. So for every single one of us, acknowledgement, a coming to the physician, and a third thing is a willingness, a true willingness, a true sincerity. A sincerity of heart that says, I really want to do things differently. And how does that look? That looks at maybe if I'm struggling with the same persistent sin over and over again, I have to really shut the door. I can't leave it cracked. I have to really put myself in a situation in which I could be successful. So for example, if somebody says to me, hey, Abuna, I really struggle with gossiping. I say, okay, what are you going to do about it? Oh, Abuna, pray for me. No, you have to actually do something to help stop gossiping. And what are you going to do? Maybe if there's certain friendships that you constantly gossip with, you got to like make a pact with that friend and say, hey, maybe the two of us can encourage each other to not gossip. Maybe we struggle with a variety of other different things. We all know the things that are hindering us from being the person that God is calling us to be. And I think there has to be an acknowledgement, a willingness, and a true, like it's a struggle. That's why during these holy 50 days or these 55 days, we really struggle. We do everything in our power to put all of that we have into the life of the church in order for God to give us the power and the equipment in order to overcome the certain things that are hindering us from knowing Him. The real power is to the person who is humble enough to come before the Lord and say, I have a lot of stuff that needs to be healed. And the physician responds to him and says, let me give you medicine. And then the patient's responsibility is to take that medicine. He can't just have that medicine put in his pocket and be like, thank you so much for the medicine that you gave me. He has to take that patient, that medicine, and he has to use it, and he has to experience it, and he has to do everything in his power to live healthy. And the beautiful thing is it's not like he just gives us the medicine and says, okay, Rabbina ma'akum, God be with you guys. He says, no, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to be like your personal trainer with you. I'm going to walk with you in this journey, in this struggle, because that's what he does. All that God is humility and service and giving of himself to us. It's the most beautiful thing. That's why Christianity, the narrative is just, it's so mind-blowing that the God of the universe humbles himself to the form of who we are. So that's why today is such a glorious day. We celebrate the Annunciation, we celebrate the Nativity, we celebrate the Resurrection, we celebrate the Samaritan woman, we celebrate all the work that God is doing. So let us all, on this fourth Sunday of Lent, walk out and say, Lord, I want your healing. I want your healing. I want to walk away different from this liturgical experience. I don't want it to just be the same. And I need to do everything in my power to shut the doors, to make some changes, to do things that are a bit differently, because it is God's desire. It is his absolute desire for him to give you this strength to be able to overcome whatever all of us are struggling with. May God give you grace in this blessed season of Lent, and may we fast, and may we prostrate, may we attend liturgy for the purpose of loving union with him. Glory be to God.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.